This is the first time that I've ever spoke this message, and I said to a couple folks this morning, I'm not normally nervous at the beginning of a message. It's just not something, I don't do the butterfly thing and, you know, going in the bathroom and getting sick or whatever. I'm normally just pretty calm and cool, but there's something about this message this morning that has kind of got me a little bit nervous, because I believe that in the day that we are living in, it is very important, very, very important. Yesterday, as I spoke to the group that was there, I was speaking out of 2 Peter, a message called, Where is the Promise of His Coming? See, I am very convinced today that we are living in prophetic times. I believe that with all my heart, I base who I am and this ministry on what I see in the world today, and will unashamedly say to you that I believe that there are many in this room, including myself, that will see the return of the Messiah. Yeah, amen. That's kind of a bold statement. And some can say, well, you know, why? Have you watched the news? Yeah. There's a few interesting things happening out there in the news today. You know, if you get past Paris, not the city of Paris, but if you get past the junk, there's some interesting things going on. And so, you know, I said yesterday, people will say, well, why this generation? I say, well, why not? Why not? Okay. I mean, there's got to be a generation, right? There has to be a generation on the face of the earth that sees the return of Messiah. So why not? You know, I can't come up with a real good reason why it shouldn't be this generation. There may be some youth that would look at me and say, well, you know, I'd like to get married. I'd like to have children. You know, that's an honest question. But there is going to be a generation of youth that don't get married. There's going to be a generation that don't have children. But do you believe that in eternity you will ever feel cheated in any way? No. No, I believe that you will be. If you are a youth here today and you are part of that generation that does not get married, you give that up. You don't have children, you give that up. There is going to be a greater honor for you in eternity than anyone else. And you will never feel cheated. Don't ever allow the enemy to tell you that. But with all that, we must come to the place today of understanding that you and I have been placed upon this earth for such a time as this, to quote the book of Hadassah, the book of Esther. And just as Esther, Hadassah, had to come to a place of seriousness in her life and embracing what she had been called to, the same thing needs to happen with each of us. And I believe that we are in a transition period right now in which the Father is actually taking us through what is needed in each of our lives to prepare us for what is ahead. A number of months ago, an acquaintance of mine, a friend of mine, read an article over a podcast that I help him publish. It is an article that was written by Lieutenant Colonel retired David Grossman. And he wrote an article as a military man called Sheep, Wolves, and Shepherds. Excuse me. I'm going to get these probably, I'm going to try to keep this together today, but I may not, I already messed up. Called Sheep, Wolves, and Sheepdogs. And I read that article, and I challenge each of you. All you have to do is go to Google or your favorite search engine and type in sheep, wolves, and sheepdogs and read that article. And I'll tell you that it's not a long article, but by the time you get to the end of it, you will pretty much have a good idea of where you sit within those three categories. And I read that article, and it didn't take me long to find out where I sat. I've known that already. But I started to look at the article, and it made such an impact on me that I started to think about it not in the secular terms that Lieutenant Colonel Grossman had written it in, but to start to think about it in the biblical terms. And so through that, I've developed this whole message because, see, in Hebraic thought, when you start to think Hebraically, you no longer see a wall between the spiritual and the natural. That's been something that Christianity has taught, that there's the spiritual over here and the natural over here, never the two shall meet. But when you start thinking in a Hebraic manner instead of a Greek manner, then that wall starts to come down. And so spiritual principles and natural principles are interchangeable. And so we can take a secular article and see the spiritual benefits and actually see that this guy was teaching probably much more scripture than he ever knew. Well, to start this, where I'd like to take us this morning is to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. The setting, of course, this is an account of Yeshua. It's an account of his disciples. These men, it says there were he appointed 70, and his sending them out. This is the original commission for these men. Understand, these guys had been fishermen, they had been tax collectors, they had been, you know, they had worked at Walmart or Ace Hardware or whatever, and here they are kind of thrust into something that they, I would doubt that Peter ever sat out there on the Sea of Galilee fishing and thought, you know, one day I'm going to be walking with the Messiah. Probably never crossed his mind, as most of us. I think there's probably coming a day that we're going to look back and think, I never saw this thing coming. You know, why in the world did God ever put me here for the time that we're in? Maybe you've already thought that. But in Luke chapter 1, it says, after this, and I'm using Complete Jewish Bible, after this, the Lord appointed 70 other disciples, Talmudim, and sent them on ahead in pairs to every town and place where he himself was about to go. He said to them, to be sure, there is a large harvest, but there are few workers. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest that he speed workers out to gather in his harvest. Get going now, but pay attention. I am sending you out like lambs or sheep among wolves. Don't carry a money belt or a pack, and don't stop to schmooze with people on the road. I love that word, schmooze. It's a Jewish word. And it basically means to stop and just idle chit-chat, you know? And what he's saying to these guys is this, I'm sending you out as sheep, and you're going out among wolves. Now, I don't want you to take anything with you. You're not to take a money belt. You're not to take your pack. You're not to take your sword. You're not to take any of those things. You're to go out there absolutely with nothing. And as you go, understand this, though. You're not to schmooze along the way. You're not to stop and have idle chit-chat because you are going somewhere with purpose directed by God himself. So you need to understand in this journey that you're about to take that you are directed by God. And when you understand that you're directed by God himself, you don't do much schmoozing. Instead, you start to walk with purpose. You start to look for where he is directing you to. But why is it he said to them, do not take a money belt, do not take a pack, do not take anything else? I personally feel that it is because these men are being called to much more than they ever thought they would be. See, these men, though they are at this moment sheep, actually it says lambs, little sheep, that's not who they're called to be. They're going to eventually be the shepherds that are in charge of the flock, the family of God. And because of that, there's some things that they need to learn and they need to understand. And the first thing they need to learn is how to have total trust in the Father. They cannot fulfill the role that they are going to have if they continue to have any trust in themselves. They're going to have to learn that everything, every piece of equipment they have, their very being, their food, their water, everything that they have is a gift from God. And they must learn total and complete trust in the Father before they're going to be able to fulfill the role that they're going to take on. Now, if we go over to Luke chapter 22, in verse 36, we see Yeshua, and I use his Hebrew name. If you're not familiar with that, get used to it. that's what he'll be called, folks. You know, when he comes back, it's going to Hebrew. So go ahead and just get used to it at this point. In Luke chapter 22, and starting in verse 35, he said to them, "When I sent you out without wallet, pack, or shoes, were you short of anything?" "Not a thing," they answered. See, he brought them back to remembering where they had come from. He brought them back to remembering that they were once little lambs, that they were once sheep. And I'll talk more about sheep in a few minutes. But he brought them back to remembering that time that they had gone out and they had not lacked anything, because in that time they had learned to trust in the Father. But then he goes on and he says in a very serious tone, but now he said, "If you have a pack, or if you have a wallet or a pack, take it. And if you don't have a sword, sell your robe to buy one." Well, those are tough words, you know. The robe was actually used to keep you warm at night. But he said, if you don't have a sword, sell your robe in order to buy one. You see a more serious tone? Because what he's saying to us, and this is my interpretation of these scriptures, he's saying to these disciples, you're no longer in the role of a lamb. You're no longer in the role of a sheep. You have now taken on a promotion. You are now a shepherd of the family of God, of His flock. And it is going to be your job, as soon as I leave here in just a few days, it is going to be your job to direct the flock and to defend the flock of God. See, Scripture breaks us up into three categories. And we could go into more, of course, but for the sake of this, I'd like you to follow me in these three. First of all, in the world, there are wolves. Those that seek to do violence. Those that seek to kill, to destroy the sheep. There are also sheep, the victims. And there are shepherds. Those who are called to direct, to protect, and to provide safety and provision for the sheep. Now, in a church setting, when I say the word shepherd, most of us will think about the man or woman standing behind a pulpit. I'd like you to take that image and throw it away. That is not a shepherd. That's a preacher. I remember when I was a pastor of a Southern Baptist Charismatic Pentecostal Messianic Zionist church. And I say that because a lot of people don't know me here. But I remember I was in North Florida, and I got there. Had no idea what I was doing. Didn't know much when I left 6 years later, but I had no idea. And so I remember that they in North Florida, they didn't call you pastor. You were a preacher. I remember that. Did a nice job day, preacher. I had one lady, I love her dearly, she said preacher in just a certain way. I can't quite get the tone there, but I mean, I knew that we developed a great friendship, and we're still wonderful friends today. But she'd always say, "Good message, preacher." One day, I was preaching one night, and I kept looking at my watch, just a habit I'd gotten into, and she came up to me after the service, and she said, "Preacher." I knew when Kathy said that, "preacher," I was in trouble. When she said it like that, she said, "Preacher, I want you to know something. You looked at your watch 7 times today." She said, "If you'd looked at it one more time, I'd have come up and taken it off your wrist." She said, "You understand this, preacher? Not a one of us in here care what time it is." It's a great church to be in, believe me, brother. Let me tell you. But I'll never forget the day that I earned the right to no longer be preacher. I'll never forget the day that she came up to me and said, "Pastor, Pastor." See, I'd preached a long time, but I'd earned the right through time, through blood, sweat, and tears to be pastor, to be the shepherd of that flock. I'll never forget that day. Today, unfortunately, what I see, and I'm not trying to judge any church, congregation, denomination, whatever, but I see very few pastors today. I see very few shepherds today. What I see is entertainers and businessmen. I see CEOs of corporations that have gotten so big and so out of hand that the person that is called to be the shepherd has no idea who the sheep even are. That is not a biblical shepherd. We need to come back to understanding that you may never stand on a podium. You may never stand behind a pulpit, but you may be a greater shepherd. You may be called to be a shepherd that person will never know. A friend of mine years ago, he had been a pastor for many years. He had a brain tumor and could no longer take on the responsibility of pastoring the way that he pastored. So he was working in a church in the media center, running CDs, at that time actually running tapes, cassette tapes. He was giving out videos and things like that and doing what, you know, nobody in the church would ever really imagine was really something that, you know, how many times have you ever really thought about the media guy, you know? Well, when he died, I helped preach his funeral. Many people stood up in the midst of that and said, you know, the most pastoring that was ever done in this church was from the media center by that man. He had become a shepherd to a flock. And see, you may never stand on a podium. You may never stand behind a pulpit. You may never preach one single message. But you may be one that God is calling to be a shepherd, a defender of the family of God. Let me break over to the natural. And kind of, you got to follow me back and forth. And how this whole thing of sheep, wolves, and shepherds actually work in real life. You remember Katrina, the hurricane that came in to New Orleans that we continue to see the political garbage about? It is said, I was told the other day, reputable source, I haven't been able to actually tie it down, but it was said that after Katrina, approximately 15% of the people almost immediately broke out into violence. And we did see that. About 15% of the people took some kind of action, some kind of definite action to protect themselves, their families, those around them, and to get them out of the danger. But about 70% of the people started wandering around aimlessly and started taking directions from anybody that felt like they were in charge. And those sheep didn't know if it was a shepherd or it was a wolf that was giving them direction, but they were wandering around aimlessly. And anybody that had some kind of a voice of authority, they would follow. Many of those people followed wolves to their death. Many of those people went to places they should have never gone to. Why? Because within themselves, they did not have the ability to take charge of their own life. I see that in the world today. I see that in America. I see that in Europe when I travel there. That through the media, through the school system, through the system that has been created around us, there is a defined effort today to take the American people, I'll speak directly to our own country, to take the American people and dumb us down as far as we can. The other day, and I'll date this recording, we were driving into Lubbock. There's a few serious things happening in the world. There was arms and troops massing on the southern border of Syria. There was a general that was being replaced. Our president had food poisoning, a number of other things. And what was on television on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox Television of all places? Paris Hilton's front porch, as they were waiting for the black and white to come and pick her up to take her to jail. And most people had no idea what was really going on in the world, because the system around us is trying to make us into sheep. Sheep that just wander around aimlessly, not knowing what to do. And when a situation arises, we just follow whatever voice there is, not able to discern if that voice is a shepherd or if it's a wolf. See, understand today that wolves are in the world. There are wolves. If you have a sheep mentality, you try to deny this. Sheep desire to deny wolves are present. It's just their mentality. It's nothing wrong. If you are a sheep, I'm going to be saying some things. You'll find out if you're a sheep by the time I get to the end, because I'm going to say some things that you're going to kind of cringe at a little bit. I don't want to hear these things. Well, it's not a bad thing. It's just that's who you are. And I'm going to give you some instructions if you find yourself as a sheep. But I'm also going to give you some instructions if something starts to well up inside of you that says, you know, I've lived as a sheep, but I'm no longer desiring to be there. I want to be promoted. But see, sheep desire to kind of live a life of peace and deny that there's anything of violence or anything that can harm them. And that's one of the things that the wolves play to. Wolves thrive on and are strengthened by violence. When they see something happen, a wolf, that's why we see these copycats. Something happens at a school or a university or a shopping center or something, and we see other people trying to get on board on that thing. And these are wolves that they see somebody else got away with it. And they thrive on it. And it gives them strength and power. Wolves thrive on weakness. And if there's an animal on the face of the earth that is the weakest of all, it would probably be the sheep. Wolves thrive on surprise. And wolves thrive on the fact that sheep are normally unaware of what is going on around them. All we have to do to prove that there are wolves today is look at 9/11. Or as the song says, have we forgotten? There are many people that have forgotten 9/11. Our media, government said, we should no longer show those pictures anymore. Why? So that you will forget that it ever happened. It's now just a distant memory that's in some history book, and it didn't really happen. That wasn't actually true. I think I just dreamed that up. I believe that those pictures should be shown on a daily basis so that we would never forget that the wolves are ever present. Today, someone can get away with saying the global war on terror, and I'm not trying to make political statements here this morning, but I am going to bring out some things that are pretty direct. Someone can stand up and say, well, the global war on terror is just a bumper sticker. And then a couple days later, we find that some people were plotting to blow up gas lines at JFK Airport. Wolves are not a bumper sticker. Wolves are reality today. Columbine, the school in Colorado, a day that no one will forget. Well, some have. Columbine, a day that the wolves struck. Of course, we have things that are closer to us today of Virginia Tech. as a very deranged man came into a school and started shooting people. Kidnappings. If you follow the news, and I do, it's just kind of what I'm called to. I believe that we should be aware of what's going on around us. See, sheep don't want to be aware. You want to kind of say, well, you know, I'm just going to watch I Love Lucy the rest of my life. But, you know, I Love Lucy is over in 30 minutes and everything's fine until the next episode when Lucy does something crazy again. But the world is not a 30-minute sitcom. Things don't get over in 30 minutes. And I know that at times you can get so involved in what's going on that we kind of cease to function. My office is in my home, and I check the news and the TV and stuff. And, you know, it used to be, you remember when CNN came out? And people thought, what in the world are they going to talk about for 24 hours? News for 24 hours a day? You got to be kidding me. Nothing is going on in the world like that. Well, now, you know, we have CNN and MSNBC and Fox News, and I tell you what, somebody's going to make a fortune when they come out with breaking news television. Because it seems like every time you turn the thing on. What you can't do is let yourself get emotionally involved in every case. And that's one thing they want you to do. You can't get emotionally involved, but we do need to know what's going on around us. It seems like the kidnappings, the crimes, all of these things. I checked the news this morning, and there was some shootings and people killed up in Illinois, Wisconsin area. And they found a young baby that had been shot but still alive. Thank God. Six people were dead there, though. They didn't give any reasons, but the deputy made the quote of the day when he said, "We believe this to be a safe neighborhood." That man's not a shepherd. That's a sheep talk. Well, I know that those people have been killed, and we don't know the motives, and we haven't found the person that did this, but this is a safe neighborhood. I don't think so. Sheep want to continue to be unaware. Sheep continue to graze with their heads down and become victims of wolves that are coming in. See, sheep have no defenses of their own. If you've been around a sheep, you know, God calls us sheep. It's not a real compliment, actually. Sheep are not the brightest creatures on the face of the earth, if you've ever watched them. You look in those eyes, there's not a whole lot going on there. Yeah, bad. If you look at a sheep, they don't have claws. They don't have a lot of strength. In fact, if they, you know, they get heavy with wool and they fall over and they can't even get up. They don't bite often. They do bite each other once in a while, which is kind of like some churches I've been in. That's a different subject. But they really have no real defenses of their own. And as I said, a sheep feeds all day long with its head down, never looking up to see what is around them. If you want to understand what it's like to be a sheep, here's your assignment. I want you to go to Walmart and look around. And it is a classic example of sheep. These people, men and women, doesn't matter. I mean, this is not a sexist thing. You know, the guys do the same thing. You know, they walk in, pass the greeter, "Yeah, I'm doing fine," grab a shopping cart, and just kind of wander around aimlessly. They look down at their list, you know, looking down at their list. The only time they've got their head up is when they're going down the aisle, and the only thing that they're seeing is right there along the aisle, their food. What am I going to get? And they get this, and they get this, and then they look down, and they get to the end of the aisle and walk right out in the aisle and run right into you. "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you." I have literally been walking around Walmart and seen somebody coming out the aisle with their shopping cart, stopped like this, looked directly at them, seen them walk right past me and never see me. That's a sheep. That's how sheep do things. So if you want to know what sheep is like, just go to Walmart, Kmart, whatever grocery store, wherever you want to go, and watch people walking around. They have no clue what's going on around them. None at all. In fact, happens in church. Happens in church every Sunday. Messianic communities every Saturday. You walk into a service, and what do? They give you a bulletin. So we sit there during the service and look down at our bulletin until they tell us to sing a song. Then we get the hymnal and look down at it. I got so aggravated when I was a pastor. People wanted to sing songs like, Just As I Am. And somebody that's been, you know, in the church for 150 years would look at me and say, Pastor, what page is that on? You don't know how to sing that. You've sang this song. You know, I mean, you couldn't count the number of times you sang most of these songs, but you want to have a number so you can look down, not look around. You look at the bulletin, looking down at all these things. Got your Bible, look down. And it doesn't, you don't know what's going on around you anywhere. Why? Because we live in a world that has about 70% sheep, mindless, kind of nod to whatever is served to them. David talked about in Psalm 23 that God prepares a table before me. Because a shepherd knows that before he takes his sheep into a pasture, he's got to go up and make sure that he picks all the poisonous weeds out. Because a sheep has no discernment of what to eat and what not to eat. They just grab whatever is there. Sheep follow sheep. I was watching a DVD the other day on sheep, and a shepherd was giving some examples of, this guy had not grown up a shepherd, he was a pastor, but he decided that to understand how to be a pastor, he would actually go out and become a shepherd for a month. And he did, and he said it was so funny to watch the sheep. He said, I watched one day that it was in the desert climate. Excuse me, it was a kind of cracks and things and all kinds of stuff, and kind of like around the area that I live in, and it was actually in Israel. And he said that he watched a sheep as he walked right off the side of a little cliff. And it wasn't a high cliff. The sheep didn't die, don't worry. Okay. Nobody's going to die here, okay? So we're not going to slaughter any sheep before the day's over. But he said this little sheep kind of walked off this little, not a high cliff, and just walked off and just kind of stuck his nose right into where the crevice came together, and just kind of, stuck there, like this, looking down into the crevice. He said, I stood there and watched, and the next sheep followed him. Of course, that sheep didn't get his nose in the crevice. You know where his nose went. He said, I watch sheep after sheep just walk right off of this thing and nose to back end and over and over and over again. And he said it was the craziest thing. He said, and I watched the shepherd as he was trying to get this sheep pile out. And he said, the hardest thing is, he said, I get a sheep. He said, I watch this guy get his sheep and bring him back out. And you know what the sheep wanted to do? Right back in. He said, you had to have a couple of people there to hold the sheep back because they kept on wanting to just dive right in, one after another. Okay. Story, a friend of mine, I said we weren't going to slaughter any sheep, but I'm sorry, we're about to kill some. So just don't listen to this part. A friend of mine spent his honeymoon in New Zealand. And this was a number of years ago when wool was just at an all-time low. You couldn't even give sheep wool away. There was just so much or whatever. And this friend of mine and his wife were staying at a bed and breakfast on a farm. You'd have to know this friend of mine to realize this would be where he would spend a honeymoon, is on a farm. And so he said at breakfast one day, hey, we got a couple, somebody else that would too, huh? He said at breakfast one day, the farmer came to him, and they were just sitting down, and he said, tomorrow, it was Sunday, actually, and he said, tomorrow I got a really bad job. He said, I've got to kill my sheep. say I got 100 head of sheep. I'm sorry, I got to say this, okay? But he said, I got 100 head of sheep, and I've got to slaughter them. And this friend of mine said, well, why? He said, well, I took them to the auction. He said, I can't get anything for the wool. He said, I took them to the auction. I put them on the auction for $2 a piece, and nobody'd buy them. He said, I put them up for $1 a piece, and nobody'd buy them. He said, I finally said, anybody that wants to take them, I'll just give them to you. Nobody'd take them. He went to $2. I'll give you $2 a piece to take the sheep. He didn't want to see them killed, but he couldn't afford the feed and all these things. And he said, the farmer looked at him and said, tomorrow I'm going to have to kill him. And he said, I just can't afford it. And this friend of mine said, well, isn't that a hard job? I mean, it's 100 sheep. He said, no, it's not. He said, I've got a hole, a big hole dug out there in the back of the farm. He says, all I'll do is shoot one, and the next one will come over to look, and I'll shoot that one. He said, 100 sheep will just come one after another. And he said, they'll just fall in the pit, and it'll be all over. And that's how it is with sheep. We saw that a number of years ago on a New York subway when a gunman walked in. I guess he didn't hear the laws that it wasn't legal to carry a gun in New York. It's amazing how criminals don't get those laws. You know, they just don't get some of those postings out there. That's another subject I won't get into. But there was a gunman that walked in and walked through a subway car and just went from one person to another person, taunting them and shooting them, taunting them and shooting them, taunting them and shooting them. Where were all these people? What are they doing? Just sitting in the car waiting for their time. Why? Because all there was on that subway car was sheep. There was plenty of people there that could have stormed this guy, taken over the whole thing, but bad, bad. The sheep. I was in Belgium a few months ago. Went to a, wasn't a concentration camp. There was no concentration camps in Belgium. But there was a barracks that, in Belgium, they had not been keeping the records like the Germans did. The Germans kept such meticulous records. That's why we know all the things that went on during the time of the Holocaust. But in Belgium, they did not have passports that said you were a Jew and you were this and you were that. Just everybody was in Belgium. And you know how they found out who was Jewish? It's pretty interesting. They went to the meter reader. Because the meter reader normally knows everything about you. And the meter reader knew who had a different lifestyle. And so they started to figure out who was Jewish in Belgium. And they would send letters to these people, 900 to 1,200 people at a time, and tell them, and this is a time of extreme poverty, and nobody had prepared for anything. There was poverty everywhere. Nobody had anything. And so they started sending letters stating that we have found work for you up north. And if you will just, these are the things that you need to bring. You need to pack a bag, and you need to show up at the train station at this barracks at this certain time, and then you will be taken up north, you and your family, and you will be provided for and you will be given work. It was a lie. But these people showed up. 900 to 1,200 people at a time showed up at these barracks. My tour guide at the barracks was a person who was actually, his parents were there, and while he was there, while they were there, his mother, I believe, was pregnant with him. He showed us the actual room that his parents had been taken to. As they were told to come, and you're going to have work, but of course they showed up. They showed up with their belongings they had been told to bring. They were put on transports of boxcars, 900, 950, up to 1,200 people per transport, and they were taken. 26 transports were taken from Belgium to Auschwitz and to Ravensbrück and to Dachau and to various concentration camps, where the people would get off of a transport and walk up to a gate that said in German, work equals freedom, but it was a lie. Standing there in front of them was a German guard who would look at the person and say, you go this way, you go that way. You go this way, you go that way. This way was life. This way they gave you a bar of soap. and told you to go stand and take a shower, but the water never came on. You imagine, how could you possibly do that? It's easy when you understand that most people are sheep and will follow the directions, no matter if it's given from a shepherd or if it's given from a wolf. We saw in 9/11, 5 people on an airplane hijack a plane that has 200 or 300 people on it sometimes. How could that possibly happen? Well, nobody had ever seen anybody hijack a plane and fly it into a building before. Nobody had ever seen it. Till finally, a cell phone call, we're told, this is what the story is that's been released, we're told that a person on one of the planes got word of what had happened. And he decided, I'm no longer a sheep, I'm a shepherd. And he gathered up some other people that desired to have a promotion. Took them to the back of the plane and said, this is what's happened on 2 other planes. It's not going to happen on this one. It's what's happened on 3 planes. It's not going to happen on this one. The immortal words, let's roll. That's shepherd talk. Understanding that when you say those words, you may never live to have another word come out of your mouth. But that's shepherd talk. That's trying to save the sheep. As I said earlier, it's okay to be a sheep. See, if there's no sheep, then shepherds don't actually have a flock. We're just a bunch of shepherds getting together. If you find yourself kind of edgy this morning and wondering, you know, I wonder when he's going to get done with this, it's probably that you're a sheep, and that's okay. Really, it's okay. But I want to talk for a few minutes to those that are, there's something brewing inside of you. You've sat there and you're going, yeah, let's roll. I like this stuff. Let's go. I want to talk to you a few minutes. If you find yourself being called to be a shepherd, understand some things. You need to first learn total reliance on the shepherd, the shepherd. You must learn total, complete reliance on the shepherd, on God Himself. And you must always remember what it was like to look through the eyes of a sheep. Never forget that there was a day that you were also a sheep. And you need to remember those days, because that way you can continue to relate to the sheep that you were called to shepherd. Understand that the calling is not of your own ability, not of your own power, not of your own strength, but the calling is in His strength, in His ability, and in His power. You need to read John chapter 10, verse 7, where Yeshua says, I am the door. Because see, now you will be called to do the same as the shepherd that taught us. He said, I am the door. The door is where when you bring the sheep in, you create a corral. You bring the sheep into that corral, and then you lay down in the doorway. And you are the door. And nothing can come into the sheepfold without coming through you. There was a Holocaust survivor, 70, 72 years old, something like that, at Virginia Tech. Jewish man, literally became the door. For when a gunman came in that didn't get the law posted that he wasn't supposed to have a gun that day, when he came in and the shooting started, that Holocaust survivor literally put his own body in the doorway and told the sheep to get out. It bothers me how many big football players and soccer players and whatever there was in that place were jumping out the windows instead of going to help a 72-year-old Holocaust survivor. It shows me that today we've raised a lot of sheep. The day after Virginia Tech, we have a son. Our oldest son, Stephen, is at University of Arizona. He just graduated his first year at U of A. And I called him and I just said, how you doing down there? He said, I'm doing good. I said, what's the conversation? He said, we got into quite a little conversation in English class. And he said, yeah, I brought out some things that some of the kids didn't like. And he said, the professor took my side. And we got into some pretty good conversations. And I won't go into all that we talked about that in that day. But I said, well, that's great. I said, how's it affecting you? He said, Dad, I've thought through this a lot of times. He said, I have run this thing over and over and over in my mind. He said, Dad, I couldn't have run away from the bullets. I had to run to them. As a father, that scared me. As a father, that did something to me. But as a father, I've probably never been more proud of a statement that my son has made. Because in that moment, I understood that I had not raised a sheep. I raised a shepherd. It's a great honor to raise shepherds. It may cost you some pain, but I'm proud of it. In fact, I'm finding out that I'm raising three shepherds. We don't have a sheep in the family. John chapter 10, verse 15, Yeshua says, no greater love is anyone that he lay down his life for. Could I translate this? Could I take a little license here? No greater love has any shepherd than he would lay down his life for the sheep. Understand, shepherds, it may cost you your life. You may be the one that survive, that is killed so that a sheep may survive. One of my favorite shows is, I'm in Texas here. I'll get a yes out of this probably. One of my favorite shows is Walker, Texas Ranger. Yeah. I turn that on. I'm glad it comes on at night. Kathy's normally asleep. Because I turn that on and the whole family scatters. And let me tell you, that is the worst acting that's ever been. You know, I mean, you cannot find any program on the face of the earth that's ever been that has worse acting, I think, than Walker, Texas Ranger. But I just love the show. Because, see, the guy, Chuck Norris, the real person, is a person like who I'm talking about right now. You know that Chuck Norris was raised kind of as a sheep. He was the one that everybody beat on. I'm serious. He was the one that the bullies came to. And one day something happened in him, and he decided, I'm no longer going to be a sheep. And now, he's not anything close to it. He's much more shepherd mentality. I came in the other night, and it was late, and I was laying on the couch and watching this thing, and you know, just about to cry over the acting. And there was a little boy about 3-4 years old that was kicking a soccer ball around, and he kicked it into a culvert. They found out that culvert was about 30 feet down. This is all the script. I know this is not real. But they said, we've had some problems with these culverts. We're trying to find them. They've been collapsing. You know what Cordell Walker said? I'm going in. And they got a rope on him, and he goes in there, and he starts talking to that little boy who's afraid. He says, you know, I used to be afraid too. He starts talking to him about relying on someone more than just yourself. And of course, they got the rope down there and got everything set. There was a cave-in, and they had to wait for them to come through another tunnel there and Finally got that thing tunneled, and the little boy's on the road. They got the little boy out, you know, and given to his parents. And his parents had been sitting there the whole time going, please, somebody help me, because they're sheep. And it took a shepherd that had no... The person with the blood relationship here, they're standing there going, please help me. And somebody that didn't know these people from anyone. In fact, the father was a bank robber. You know? And a police officer, Cordell Walker, goes in and rescues this little boy, you know? He didn't have any, there's nothing for him in it. Wasn't his son. Well, they get a little boy out and they give it to the parents, and of course, you know, it's an hour show. So, another cave-in. It looks like he's going to die. Of course, you know he's not. You know? But the little boy, his life has been saved. The sheep has been saved, but the shepherd is still in danger. No greater love than you would lay down your life for one of the sheep. See, shepherds never run from trouble. Shepherds run to trouble. As my son said, Dad, I couldn't have run away from the bullets. I had to run to them. If you're a shepherd, you need to see through the eyes of God's power. 12 spies went out. 10 were sheep. Actually, I would say there were probably wolves in the end. 2 were shepherds. And those 2 walked into the promised land. See, a shepherd will see rewards that no one will ever see, because of what they will allow to have happen in their lives when they see through the eyes of God. I mentioned those 26 transports that were taken from Belgium. There is some good news. On the 20th transport, there was a few people that went to the government and tried to have the transport stopped. They wouldn't stop them. So one of them found a little old antique revolver and a lantern. And they went out at night when that transport was running down the railway to Auschwitz or Dachau or Ravensbrück or somewhere. And 2 or 3 of them stood in front of the tracks with an old antique revolver and a lantern and flagged the train down, stopped it, took over, and rescued 200 people that were on the train. See, that's a shepherd. That's a shepherd that says, little revolver against all these German guns? Who cares? Give me a slingshot and a rock, and I'll take care of this Goliath standing here in front of me. Shepherds need to learn, as Luke chapter 10, verse 1, he sent them ahead in pairs. Shepherds must learn to work together, which is difficult. We always want to do it our own way, but shepherds, we've got to learn to work together in things. Shepherds understand that the sheep will not always like you because you remind them of the wolves that are out there. You remind them of what they don't want to be reminded of. See, in Columbine, I doubt that those police officers that had been there day after day in their week, in their daily duties, I doubt that the students of Columbine had ever said much to them. If they did, it was probably something slang and derogatory. There had even been a move by some of the parents to take the police officers out of Columbine, because we don't need that there because the wolves don't exist. Now, those same parents that were lobbying to have the police officers taken out of Columbine were probably lobbying to have seat belts in school buses. Those same people would have been appalled if they'd have found out that a smoke detector didn't work, or there was a fire extinguisher that had malfunctioned. They would have been appalled at those things, because sheep can accept those things, but they can't accept that wolves would ever come in. The record states, though, that on the day that Columbine happened and these lunatics came in and started to shoot, the SWAT teams were brought in. And the SWAT teams said that the hardest thing that they had to deal with was the sheep clinging to them. Because, see, when a wolf comes into the flock, The sheep who have not wanted to have anything to do with the wolf, because or with the shepherd, because the shepherd reminds them of violence and of the wolves and all of these things. But when the wolf comes in, you know what the sheep want to do? Every one of them tries to get right behind the shepherd. And the SWAT teams at Columbine had a very difficult time doing their job because of the sheep clinging to them. They said they literally had to peel them off in order to go in and do the job that they had been called to do. Sheep don't like shepherds many times until they are needed. Well, today we have natural sheep. We also have spiritual sheep. We have natural wolves and spiritual wolves. Some of the wolves are in sheep clothing. Shepherds, you need to learn how to discern between the two. If you happen to be a wolf today, and you're here in sheep's clothing, let me give you a very firm word. There are shepherds being raised up to hurt you. There are shepherds being raised up to take you out. You better go ahead and just leave the flock while you can, under your own power. Because there are shepherds being raised up today that are serious about their job, not just entertainers and not businessmen. The majority of people that will listen to me will be sheep. That's okay. Be what you're called to be. Learn to walk as a sheep with purpose, though. I talked about this to the group yesterday. Many people walk around and they got their head down. And kind of walking around like this and no purpose. Folks, even if you're a sheep, hold your head up. Stand up straight. I don't care if you're going to the bathroom. You're a child of God. Go with purpose. If you're a sheep, get out of the sheep mode of looking down all the time. Become aware of what's going on around you. Because you're a sheep with purpose. Because you're a sheep that's a child of God. And no child of God should ever put their head down. No child of God should ever shuffle their feet along. A child of God should walk with purpose, moving from one place to another, because no matter where you are going under the direction of God Himself. For the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Make Him proud of the steps you're taking. Learn to walk as a sheep with purpose. Learn to appreciate and listen to your shepherds. Sometimes it's hard to do. Sometimes sheep don't want to listen. You need to understand who are the shepherds in your life. And then you need to learn how to appreciate them and not be so argumentative toward them all the time, but to start to take direction and listen to them. Because it may be your very life at some point in time. And don't be afraid of shepherd talk. There are times in a sheep's life that you're going to come in contact with a couple of shepherds that are sitting down. And those two shepherds may start talking about some shepherd talk. They may start talking about some of the wolves that are out there. They may start talking about how we're making plans to take care of those wolves. And you're a sheep and you're going, I don't like this. You ought to start taking comfort with that shepherd talk. Understanding that those people are doing something that they are called to do in order to protect you. Let me finish this. Shepherds, learn to rely on the shepherd. Fall in love with the sheep. Accept them for who they are. They're sheep. They're your job. Without the sheep, you're unemployed. Make up your mind now to protect them. If you're a shepherd, if you're called to be a shepherd, you need to make up your mind before you walk out that door that you give your life for the sheep. Because if you don't make up your mind now, you don't need to be sitting in the situation questioning what you're supposed to do. Learn to work together. Never forget who you are called by and what you're called to. And last, shepherds, this is a full-time job. The sheep get Shabbat, but a shepherd never is allowed to take a day off from sheep watch and from wolf watch. You have signed up for a full-time, 24/7 job. And as long as you're on the face of this earth, if you're a shepherd, you no longer have the right to take a day off from the job that you are called to do of protecting the sheep. But understand this, your reward will be great. May God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching. We pray it's been a blessing to you. For more information about the ministry of Join to Hashem, you can reach us by mail at Post Office Box 1816, Seminole, Oklahoma, 74818, by phone 405-257-6277, and also on the internet, joinedtohashem.org, and also torahislife.org. May Hashem bless you richly. As they come to the sign, his delight shall be upon their heads. They will come to the sign, his joy.